God has created the human body to survive. And it's really amazing, the longer you think about how our bodies are made, and as you watch them in life, and yes, there's a day we were born and a day that we will die, but throughout our life, what happens to the human body, it is geared to survive. And that amazes me. If your body goes without food for, 16 hours, it starts to drop your metabolism to preserve and hang on to what you have. It adjusts for what you're doing to try to keep you alive. If you get very, very cold, most likely your core will not be cold, but your extremities will be cold. Your fingers are cold, your toes are cold, your nose is cold. And God's designed us so that if something has to die on this thing, it's going to be something we could live without. And the organs survive and you survive. When your body gets a cut, have you ever thought about the skin of your body and how well God designed us? What a protection against infection. Your skin. And it heals itself. But if you get a cut, your body is designed so that white blood cells come and attack whatever infection might be developing. Our bodies are continually doing this to survive. And it's also true that if you experience something dangerous, I remember watching a show that talked about how your mind perceives things. And if your mind sees something that it thinks is something you identify, that you recognize, if you don't see all of it, your mind will fill in the gaps, and that you will perceive it as being something even though you only maybe see a small part of it. Have you ever seen a stick and thought it was a snake? You ever seen something on the side of the road, you thought it was an animal? Maybe you saw something move and you thought it was a person. Well, it was a shadow and you maybe thought it was a ghost. It wasn't a ghost, okay? It's your body, it's your mind, rather, perceiving what might be dangerous, and God has designed us in that way. Something else regarding this is the fact that God has given us safety features. We have a fight or flight response. If you feel like you perceive danger, imminent danger, your body will immediately go into survival mode. It is true that sometimes we perceive or have a bad experience. And I remember a time that I had a car wreck. Was driving on, the roads were a little bit icy, not a lot, but a little bit. And I changed lanes and the back end comes around and I fought it for a little bit off the road, hit a tree, car totaled. And I remember, waiting a little bit. My brother comes and picks us up, and then he's driving on somewhat icy roads. And I remember, he's probably going 30 miles an hour, but I want him to slow down because of the way God designed us. When you experience something dangerous and then you get right back on that horse, your body's not liking that too much. It's saying, hey, there's something harmful here. And I'll give you one more example, and we'll talk about our attitudes. But if I were to walk in Zach's office one day and he whacks me over the head with a book, and I'm startled by that, and I recover from that, and the next time I walk into his office, he jumps from behind the door, does the same thing, whacks me on the head with a book. The third time I come in his office, I assure you, I'm prepared. I may have a weapon. We learn, right? Your memory teaches you to watch out. And I say all that to say that if you tend to suspect that things are going to turn out for the bad, if you tend to brace yourself for the worst, if you suspect people of having ulterior motives, you may have had experiences in your past, maybe in your childhood, that taught you, hey, people aren't really trustworthy. Hey, people are going to let you down. They're going to be suspicious. And you may have developed an attitude in which you duck a lot. Your attitude may reflect that. Maybe it's more like this, that your attitude is closely, and this is me, that it's closely connected to your mood. If you're in a good mood, you have a good attitude. Life's good. Everything's good. You're good. I'm good. If you're in a bad mood, it's different. I'll come home sometimes in a bad mood. I come home and If the kitchen's a mess, what in the world's going on here? We have children here that have chores. Why is this way? I walk a little further. Something else is left out. Why is this still here? Walk a little further. What's going on over here? Violation, violation, violation. Get my notepad out. I'm writing all these up. Who is responsible? Why? That's my attitude. That's the mood I'm in. There are homes in which everyone walks on eggshells, not knowing the mood of an individual, that when they're in a bad mood, they stomp around like Godzilla and everyone runs for cover. So attitude is simply a way of thinking or feeling about someone or something. In other words, attitude is not what a situation is. Your attitude is not how a situation is going to turn out. It's how you think it's going to turn out. Isn't that something? It controls us, or has such an effect on our lives, what my perspective is on a situation. And my perspective is not what something is, it's what I think it is. And if that's not bad enough, it changes. Right? And so attitude is how you think something's going to turn out. Last week I talked about going to a dermatologist and worrying about skin cancer. And incidentally, I've been informed that I apologize right here and now. I have the tendency sometimes to tell a story to illustrate a point and forget that you're human beings and you actually care about me. And you'd like to know if I'm okay. And I am okay. All the spots on my face, the doctor froze them off and said they were precancerous and come back in a year. And aside from the freezing, which I kind of expected, I thought that was pretty good. So I jumped to all these conclusions, fearing the worst. That was my attitude. You ever do that? You ever have a poor attitude, a bad attitude? Because of jumping to conclusions. So attitude is simply an opinion. And I want us to, we will look at in Christ. You know, our theme this year is changed by Jesus. We're not to be like we once was. We're not to be who the world is. We are changed. And we should have an attitude that reflects it. Three things about our attitude. First, we'll start in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. If you're not good at memorizing long scriptures, I have one for you in just a moment. I think that you can probably... Well, this one, in fact, is the shortest verse in the Greek New Testament. Rejoice always. Verse 16, rejoice always. Shortest verse in the English New Testament is Jesus wept. Our attitude is always to be one of joy. And we have corresponding, there's another passage in Philippians. Paul writes to the Thessalonians and the Philippians, and he really writes very similar things here. It's amazing. So in Philippians 4, verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice, just in case that was, in case he was going too fast or that was a little too complicated. Somebody got lost. I'll circle back. Have an attitude of joy always. Rejoice. How can I do that? How can I have an attitude that's joyful in stressful situations? A couple weeks ago, we talked about how had a demonstration up here. Brian Benton up here playing the role of God. When a person's in a trial, when we're in a trial, we fret, we worry, we have a struggle. God, take my burden. And God says, exercise your trust muscle. When you're worried, God says, trust me. And we say, well, I don't know how to do that. It's because you haven't tried enough. Well, I'm not good at trusting God and having peace in a crisis. It's because you haven't done it enough. And the bottom line is, we go through trials. That doesn't mean we learn to trust. To learn to trust means we have to work at it. But the joy, you can have joy in a trial, because when you're in a trial or in discomfort, you have an opportunity to practice trusting. It's an opportunity. You cannot learn to trust when life is good. It's only in a trial. Another reason we can have joy, our attitude can be one of joy at all times. How can I rejoice always? The answer is because God is on the throne always. My God's in charge always. Well, but my life's hard sometimes. Yeah, but my God is still in charge always. Does that give us joy? Can we find comfort in that? Do we trust God enough to say he's got it? He's in control. He's taking care of me. And then thirdly, God tells us, Romans 8:28 is a great passage. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him. in all things. If you're in a trial and you're leaning on God, He's doing something good there. And you can view that as a gift, maybe many gifts. Have you not heard someone talk about they went through something difficult, but on the other side of it, they said, you know what? God did this. He did this. He taught me that. It's amazing what all God did. Those are gifts. I was at Trisha Ray's the other day, and be praying for LaVon. She is, hospice is now brought in. She's stage 4 liver cancer, and so be praying for that family. But I was there, and with LaVon shoots, and so, and then at one point, Trisha says, I have something for you. And I could tell by how she said that it was something good. I didn't know what it was, but I knew it was something good. I had no idea what it might be, but she says, I have something for you. So she went and got this sack, and this is for Liz and the baby and us as grandparents. And so opening this gift, I pull out this blanket that she has made for little baby Noah. Isn't that good? That's good right there. He's not even here yet, but this is good stuff right here. It's soft. If you didn't, has sloths on it. I love it. When God says He will work good in every situation in your life, do we really believe Him? God is saying, I have something for you. I've got something good for you. And that's how we can have joy in all situations. Reading on verse 17 in 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances. If you want to know how to have the attitude of Christ and the attitude that as Christians we should have, pray more. If you say, well, preacher, you don't understand, I struggle with attitude. I oftentimes need an attitude adjustment. Pray more. You understand, preacher, sometimes I just get in a funk and I am cranky and crabby. Pray more. Right? Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. How can you give thanks in all circumstances? There's always something to be thankful for. And remember, your attitude is not what a situation is. It's what you think it is. So if we read down further, we'll start Philippians 4, 6, and then we'll look at verse 8. So here again, this parallel passage in Philippians says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. By prayer, there's prayer again, with thanksgiving. So all times, pray, be thankful. How do we do that? I like verse 8, and I want to go through this slow. Usually I go through verse 8 quickly. I don't know why. Maybe just because it seems to say the same thing. But I think that's maybe a reason for that. Verse 8, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise. Do you get the idea there? He's writing and saying, I know you're struggling, but is there something good? I know you're having a hard time. Do you have anything to be thankful for? I know the world looks bad. Is there anything good in it? Anything worthy of praise, think about these things. You cannot directly change how you feel. It is very hard to change how you feel. And if your attitude is connected to how you feel, you see how that's a problem. You can change indirectly how you feel by changing this up here. How am I thinking? What am I thinking? What am I focused on? What am I ignoring? And Scripture tells us, has told us all these years, focus on what's good. In fact, I don't know how some of you watch the news, to be honest. I don't mean that hateful. I just mean I don't know how you do it. I'll sometimes go back to it and say, Elliot, what is going on in the world? I mean, I read some headlines. I'm not totally oblivious. But I'll say, I wonder what is going on. Flip over there to the local news. I can't last very long. Can't handle it. Whatever is good, think about godly things. There are times, I've mentioned this before, there are times that I have a bad attitude, I'm cranky, I'm crabby, and I stop myself and I say, well, Elliot, what does the preacher always say we're supposed to do? And I actually try to do that. And I say, well, let's be thankful for a minute. Okay. And it always works for me. Whatever works for you might be different. But for me to do a list of 10. All right, self, let's just stop for a second and quit being cranky about all that I'm focused on. Let's think of 10 things that are good in your life. 10 things you're thankful for. I have a wife that cares about me, is there for me, loves me. I have 3 daughters that are good people. They love God. I'm blessed with a good family. The best of the list, if my mind is right, and I have to get it right, but the best of the list is I have a God that's redeemed me, and nothing can take salvation from me. No one can come and get it. The devil does not have the power to take it. It's mine no matter what happens in my life. Only I can turn away from it. I have a comfortable car to drive with cold air and warm heat when I need it. I have a comfortable house to live in. I have a job with, half of my coworkers are tolerable and the other half are excellent. I only work with 2. I'm not going to say who's who. That's a joke. I work with excellent Christians. You know what I mean? I have great bosses, a great church that loves me. I always go beyond 10. I have to stop myself at some point, and then I slap myself. What is wrong with you? And what's wrong is I'm focused on the wrong things. We should have a thankful attitude, shouldn't we? Okay, and the third one is, let's get to the third one. So 1 Corinthians 13, flip to 1 Corinthians 13. I have a couple sections here. This is not scripture. This is what's called a paraphrase. It's where you take the word of God, you take a verse or two, and you put it into your own words and give it unique meaning and powerful application, whatever it may be. So this one, the first part is, this is kind of paraphrased to apply to what the world is. And the world is impatient and unkind. They envy and boast, are arrogant and rude. The world insists on its own way, is irritable and resentful. They rejoice at wrongdoing. They reject the truth. The world does not bear others' burdens. Instead, they believe the worst, they expect the worst, and they fail to persevere. Can you see that? A bad attitude can see bad in a good situation. They can be looking at a solution and see a problem. They can be staring at victory and feel defeated. That's what a bad attitude can do. Isn't that something? Conversation might go like this. One person says to another, they say, you know, wasn't it great what happened, what so-and-so did, wasn't that great? And the bad attitude says, well, it's about time. And the first person says, yeah, I know, but it was still good, wasn't it? The bad attitude says, well, let's see how long it lasts. And the first person says, yeah, I know, but it at least for right now, it's good, isn't it? And the bad attitude says, well, I guess. Isn't that something? How an attitude can totally destroy what God intends to be a blessing in our life. So to paraphrase this, how should the Christian be if we were to apply this to the Christian? A Christian is patient and kind. They do not envy or boast. They are not arrogant or rude. A Christian does not insist on their own way. They are not irritable or resentful. They do not rejoice at wrongdoing, but they rejoice with the truth. They bear all things. They believe all things. They hope all things, and they endure all things. The Bible says in this passage, Scripture says, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says, love believes all things and hopes all things. And what that means is seeing the good in people and assuming the best in people instead of being suspicious of the worst. It's a hopeful attitude. And you may have, grown up developing a skeptical attitude about people, but God calls us to a different attitude. Jesus has changed us. And we have a God in heaven And we have a Savior who wants to save all. Everyone's made in God's image. And our attitude should reflect that, shouldn't it? We should hope for the best and see the best. That's what our attitude should be. What do you think about this statement? Our attitude is a direct reflection of our faith in God's ability. And if I have a cranky or crabby or suspicious attitude, now I'm not talking about being just being wise in general about true danger. I'm talking about a general crabby negative attitude. And in Christ, we should have one that reflects God's ability. If God's really in control, then what should my mood be? It should be joyful. It should be thankful. It should be hopeful. We may have had bad experiences in the past. You may have had trouble where you did have trials. People did hurt you. People did fail you. But you have God on your side now. And God is the one that is always faithful, isn't He? Our attitude, here's another one. Our attitude should reflect the power of God, not the pride of our past. I want to close with this. And many of you know that my oldest, Liz, and Colby Price, they are expecting their first and our first grandchild, the Price's first grandchild. Due date's October 1st. That's Tuesday, if you didn't know. Tuesday is the date that's circled. But that baby is not here yet. But Liz has been really struggling in her pregnancy. She's had morning sickness. I refer to it as morning sickness that just continued the whole 9 months and very severe. And she's lost about 45 pounds since the start of her pregnancy, which is kind of hard to get your mind around. Because there's a life growing there, but her weight from the time she started her pregnancy to now is down 45 pounds. And that's because of not being able to eat and keep food down. There have been times that she'll go 5 and 6 days and not be able to keep any food down. And so her doctor said in 30 years of practice, that he's seen one or two cases as severe as hers. It's been difficult. And I take my hat off to her husband, Colby, who has been a good man. A good man. It's challenging for the caregiver, isn't it? But Liz put a post on a social media this past week, and I want to share it with you. She said, "The doctor will not let me go a week beyond my due date without induction. We are eager but understanding that each additional day gives Noah a better chance to be healthy. I am still losing weight and very weak, but glad to know we are close to the finish line. Thank you all for your continued prayers and support. I can't express what your love has meant to us over these difficult 9 months. We are blessed. We are beyond blessed and try to reflect on that every single day." It's attitude, isn't it? Attitude. The devil will give us every reason to be crabby and cranky and negative. But God gives us more to be hopeful and thankful and joyful. I encourage you to have an attitude that reflects being changed by Jesus. Right? We're going to sing a song of encouragement, and you may have something on your heart you'd like us to pray about. There may be one here that you're not ready to meet God, to meet your judge, and you need a Savior. And if you would give your life to Christ, we'd love to help you and have your sins washed away today. If you'd come while we stand and sing.
Oh, to Jesus I surrender.